Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. Again, Moray Alicia Israel of the House of Israel, bring you truth or tradition. Today I'm again honored to bring you the word of Yah. Who is this Yah? Yahweh is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that therein is. Yahweh is the only lawgiver, judge, king, and savior of Israel and the world. Today I'm again honored by the Creator to bring you his word on truth or tradition. And we're going to discuss something very important. Some people, you say, Alicia, you need to really talk to the great theologians, the ones that have doctorate degrees and studied the scriptures, because they might be able to tell you something. Well, just the other day, I was part of a panel discussion at Central State University, where I was there on stage with several doctors, theologians and scholars, and teachers and ministers of the various religions that we have. And you had people giving their perspective on Islam through the Orthodox perspective. You also have them giving their perspective on Islam through the perspective of being a follower of Elijah Muhammad. We also had a white gentleman that was a scholar and theologian of the Old Testament. And we had two Christian ministers, highly decorated as scholars. And we all sat on the same stage and discussed a very important and relevant subject. The subject was called, What is the True Religion of the Black Man? And we're going to talk about that some during the course of our meeting. But before we get in, and I'd like you also know that we got CDs of that discussion. We have it for your availability. And next week we're going to have video recordings of it. Yes, we recorded it. We made sure that everyone would know the truth and hear the truth, as we do all of our conversations and discourses and debates and panel discussions. We record them all. So no one is able to say that he said this or she said that. We have it on black and white, or we have it on film. But before we get into this beautiful discussion about these scholarly men who engaged in a conversation with me pertaining to our true religion, we are going to again bring you another beautiful song from the 12 Tribes CD entitled, It's a Blessing.
Yeah.
your time. I'm so glad I've learned. I only have one life to live, and I'll never know. About people's thoughts,
Shalom, shalom, shalom. Again, Moray Elisha Israel of the House of Israel, bringing you truth or traditions. Today, I want to talk about the meeting that I had at Central State University. And we have all this recorded. It started about 3 weeks ago when I was invited up to Central State to have a discourse with one of the great professors there, Dr. David C. Evans. Well, we had our discourse on the Bible. He admitted that he was fairly defeated and whooped. And he said he was going to arrange that I talk to some other historians that he know, and scholars of the Old Testament and the New. And maybe they can do a little better than he. Well, I thought he was kidding, but he's a very serious man. And he loves the truth, and he loves his people. So lo and behold, I was contacted that he had this panel of scholars. Well, I went to Central State, and I, after finishing celebrating, I went there. I had already celebrated y'all's victory before I got there. It's not that I'm cocky. It's just that I've been serving Yahweh for such a long period of time that I know him. And I know his word. And I know what he has written about his word is true. I want you to see something that he has written about his word. It is recorded in the book of Proverbs, the 21st chapter. And during the 40-something years that I've been studying his word, I found out that it is absolutely the truth. Absolutely the truth, and that there's no folly in it at all. According to Proverbs, the 21st chapter, the 30th verse says,
there is no wisdom.
There is no wisdom.
Nor understanding.
Nor understanding.
Nor counsel against Yah.
There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against Yah. You can get any books you want to, any kind of scholar you want to, any amount of degrees and education that you want to. You can go to any center of education. You will never learn anything that will help you in any shape, form, or fashion disprove the words of the mighty Yah. That's the reason I'm the only minister that I am told by people around the country that call in and talk to me. I'm the only minister in the United States that come on the radio every week and teach the truth and dare anyone of any other religion or to dispute what I'm saying and prove that it's wrong. And I've been here broadcasting going on 5 years, teaching every week, and not one person has ever disproved anything that I teach as being false. And I have challenged any minister of Christianity, any minister of Judaism, any minister of Islam, and any minister of my own perspective way of thinking, an Israelite, to teach anything different than me, to come and have a discourse with me and try to prove his point. And I made that challenge to any minister in the world of any faith, even my own, that teaches anything different than me. And by and large, most of them have been on the run, and they've refused to accept my invitation because they know that there is no wisdom, nor counsel, nor understanding against Yahweh. Well, going to Central State, as I said, we have recordings. We got it on video at this time. Anyone would like a recording, you can call area code 513 641-1921 and ask for that recording to be sent to you. And we'll make arrangements to have it sent to you so you can make your own evaluation, your own judgment on the word of Yah. We had these ministers speak, and they were speaking of it Central State, and I spoke last. Matter of fact, they had spoke almost an hour before I said the first word out of my mouth. And I didn't have to say many words, because all I had to do was deliver the truth of Yah. And Yah's word disproved everything that they were saying. And they had no way to refute it. Nothing. And everything that I said about why Yah's way of life is greater than any other way of life, period, they could not have anything to rebuke it. Nothing. Why so? I came that night and I made 10 points. 10 points that no Muslim could make, regardless how advanced he is in the Quran. He can't make these statements because he doesn't have the knowledge in his books to back it up. No Christian, no follower of Christ, no one that uses the New Testament can make these assertions that are made about why Yah's spirituality is better than any spirituality on the face of this earth. And let me name you the points. And you write them down. And you study them. And you can see if your minister can make these claims from your perspective religion. One of the points I made, I'll name all 10 of them, and then we'll start going over them. I brought out that Yah is the only Elohim, or God that you might say, that describes himself, his angels or messengers, and his holy people as black. The only one that has a book that will tell you from the beginning of the book to the end of the book that his people are black, of African descent, from Jerusalem, and that they all had woolly hair. No other book can make this claim. The Almighty made mention of it, and he stressed it because he knew one day it would be very relevant to those that seek his word when they attempt to find out who they are. Because the Almighty knew that we were destined to be a lost people at one time. Because he knew that we would turn from his laws and statutes and commandments, and we would serve the gods of our enemies. And as he prophesied unto Moses in the song, that he would turn his back on us, and all types of evils and vexation would befall us until he consumed us off our land. And that then we would go to the land of our enemies, where they would strip us of all national knowledge of self, all of our culture, all our political and social and economical and spiritual way of life would be taken from us. But he knew that there would always be a remnant in the midst of our people that would seek him. And as they sought him, he would always have scriptures that would lead them back to him. And the first thing he did is let our people know that regardless how the society has brought us down to nothing, and regardless how they told us that we were nothing and we were just in a wasted land, and we should be happy that they kidnapped us from Africa and brought us to the shores of America. We should be happy because then we became someone. Even in the history of America, when they start teaching black history in schools, they started it at when we were supposed to be emancipated, as if that was the beginning of our knowledge, as if that was the beginning of our origin, and the beginning of our understanding as a people. Once he released us as slaves, then we had a history. The history of the black man in America. As if we never had a history before. As if we were never a people before. But the Almighty knew that we had the greatest history on the face of this earth. for we were the greatest people on the face of this earth. We were the only people that was made in his own image and after his likeness. And the Almighty let us know that by the description of these people. So that's one point that no other nation is able to make. No other religion or theology or spirituality is able to make other than the children of Israel that embraces his holy words. Another point, point two, is that Yahweh is the only Elohim that even spoke about the plight of our people. And he describes in every detail the things that has happened to us. And then he tells us why it has happened. And then he tells us how and what we can do to stop it from happening. The Almighty is the only one that has a solution for our problem that we can attain while we are on earth in the land of the living. Number three, Yahweh Elohim is the only Elohim that has a plan of liberation and salvation for our people. For our people getting their restoration, our people getting their land, and our people getting their vengeance on those that have historically oppressed us while we are still in the land of the living. Here the Almighty talks, and only when it has a plan of redemption, a plan of liberation. The only one that can tell us how we can become a people from getting reparation, like he spoke that we would have. And incidentally, I like to bring to our listening audience, that's another reason that you know that we are the original children of Israel. The Almighty said we would receive reparation, but we would not receive it until we are ready to go home. And as we leave, he would give us that reparation that we needed to build another nation. Remember the scriptures in the book of Ecclesiastes 10 and 19 says, money answers all things. So we need money to build a nation. And we get this money in the form of the money that would be given to us. The Creator said we would go out of this land with great substance. These are things he spoke of. I'd like to read that to you, that just one of the points as we go through. According to the book of Genesis, the 15th chapter, notice what the Most High says pertaining to our people. He's the only one that knows the exact day we came to this land and the exact day that we would leave this land. He's the only one that told us the exact amount of years that we would be slaves in this land, because it is he that allowed us to come in this land. According to Genesis, the 15th chapter, the 13th and 14th verse, it reads,
and he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs.
Know of a surety, know of a certainly, know beyond a shadow of a doubt that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs.
And shall serve them.
And they should serve these people.
And they shall afflict them.
And those people should afflict us.
400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge.
The Almighty said also that nation that they serve will I judge. Now what did he mean? He's the one that led us into captivity. He's the one who said he's going to use these other nations to discipline us and to chastise us. Then why would he come back at those nations? Well, the Creator, just like you have a switch for your little boy, little girl. You don't like to whoop your children. You don't like that at all. You don't like to put a switch to them. But sometimes that's necessary. The book of Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, 11th verse says, "My son, fear not the chastisement of Yahweh, and neither be weary of his correction. For whom Yahweh loveth, he will correct, as a father in the son in whom he is delighted. If a father is delighted in his son, he will correct him. And if Yahweh is delighted in his servant, he will correct him." But after the father used a switch and corrected his son, after he's corrected and brought back to him, then he no longer leaves that switch. Then he often grabs the switch and break it up and throw it in the garbage can because it's not needed. And likewise, Yah will do such with those that he used to chastise us. After he used those nations to chastise us and to bring us back to him, then he's no longer in need of that instrument of cruelty. But it would also be tore up and cut up and thrown away as you would a switch that you use for your son. Likewise, Yah would do with his servant. But notice the wisdom in these words. He said, "Know of a certainty," Genesis 15, 13 and 14, "that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and they shall serve them and afflict them for 400 years. Here the Almighty mentions the exact amount of time that we are to be in this land as an oppressed people. He said, and afterwards that those people will he judge, and we shall come out with great substance. That means we're coming out with great wealth, because in order for us to rebuild the kingdom of Israel, we need money. And we're entitled to money, aren't we? We're the nation or people that made America the richest nation in the world. It would have been impossible for America to become the great nation it was without you and I being in the midst of her. Just think of it. Think of what you could do personally. If you had 50 to 100 people that you could work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and didn't have to pay them, didn't have to give them any compensation for their labor. And the only thing you had to do is just keep them up and give them something to eat, some pigtail, some pig skin, the things that you want, the things you would throw away, you would let them eat, even though most of them would die before they're 35 years of age, you bred them and kept a lot of them constantly coming. Think of how rich you would be if you had a people working for you and you didn't have to pay them. Well, I just had 2 people working for me, and I didn't have to pay them, and all that labor is going to me, all the benefit of that labor is going to me, I'd be multimillionaire. Think of what happened when over 20 million people worked to build America up. And what did we get? Did we get anything in return? Well, let me tell you what civilized nations do today. They do something by paying people something called reparation. Reparation comes from the word repair. And the Almighty knows that if there's a people that need to be repaired, it is us. And America has given people money. Let me tell you, people, just a few of the people that America has given money to. They have paid money to the Japanese Americans, gave them millions of dollars for their time they were detained in these so-called detention centers. Now, when they were in these detention centers, their wives weren't raped. The daddies weren't hung. Their sons weren't castrated and torn and feathered. Their families weren't broken up. Their wife wasn't given to another man to breed with her, to make another 100, 200 people. They didn't share any of these indignations, any of the unspeakable evils that befell us. They wasn't no recipient of any of those. They were detained. Don't get me wrong. Now, that was a horrible deed to take people from their homes and detain them in camps. even if it was for a short period of time, it's a horrible ordeal. But they didn't experience any of the atrocities in which we have. But the America government came and apologized to them. Said, we're sorry for the inhumane treatment that you suffered. We're sorry we took you away from your homes, even though you're in our land. And go back to your houses. We're sorry we took you away from your homes and put you in detention centers. And they rewarded these people enormous amounts of money for what they took them to do. But what did they do with us? They took us away from our land, or all the way away from the continent. Not only the country, but the continent. Took us out of our continent to another area, to another continent, and put us on ships like sardines, and beat us with whips night and day, and raped our wives, and let other men rape our wives, and took our sons and daughters and sold them where we would never see them again. They did this to our people, and if we resisted, they would hang us and beat us and cut off our legs and arms. And they said they don't owe us nothing. No president of the United States, even to this day, has even given us an apology. Not even a simple apology. Because he realized it would be forthcoming that he would have to admit that what he did was wrong. And that he would have to try to give us some kind of compensation. And since they didn't want to give us no compensation, because the Almighty had not yet designed for us to get compensation, because he said all these other nations would get it, but we would, because this would be one of the signs that ye would know that we are the original children of Israel, we hadn't got it yet. Of all the unspeakable evils they have done and committed to our people, we have not even received one apology from the presidents of this land, not one. But all other people, do you know, they gave the Indians compensation and restoration and land and money and casinos. They did this, all of them. And this will shock you. Then the United Nations and Germany got together with another European country, and gave the Jewish people over $33 billion. $33 billion. I didn't say million, billion dollars for what happened to them. And what did we do? We didn't do anything to them. No black man put any of them in concentration camps. No black man put any of them in gas chambers. No black man did anything to them at all, but part of our tax money went to giving them reparation. When our fathers went over to Germany and helped fight to liberate them, and then came back to the United States, and the same soldier they fought against, the same soldier that shot their legs off and wounded them, the same soldiers came home with them, and those soldiers were able to send them to the front of the bus. Why? Our fathers who helped liberate the Jewish people had to sit on the back of the bus. And Yah had still not showed you who you are, according to you. These are some of the things and some of the unspeakable evils that befell our people. To know that we are the original children of Israel. The Creator said these things would happen to us. In the book of Amos, the 3rd chapter, I want you to notice what the Most High said in relationship to our people. In the book of Amos, the 3rd chapter, the first 2 verses, here's what it says.
Hear this word that Yahweh have spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt.
In other words, the Almighty said, listen, O children of Israel, what I have to say to you. You, house of Israel, against the whole family that I brought up out of the land of Egypt, saying,
you only
have I known
of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you
for all
your iniquities.
For all of your iniquities. This is why we're being punished. We're the only people that Yahweh said he knew of all the families of the earth. Therefore, he will punish us for all of our iniquities because we knew better. We were the people of the covenant. We were the people that had an association with the Creator. We were the people that were made in his own image and after his own likeness. We are the people that he gave the land of milk and honey to. And he said, because of this, because you knew better, therefore will I punish you for all of your iniquities. That's another way that you know that we are the true children of Israel. And that's when you know that Yah has the only true religion for the black man as well as the other people on the face of this earth. He is the only one that has a plan of liberation and salvation and restoration for our people while they are on earth. Christianity, their plan of redemption is that you have to die in order to be saved. You have to die in order to go to heaven. Likewise, the Muslims, they don't mind giving their life because they know they have to die to receive their paradise under the earth where these virgins will be waiting for them in tents where they'll just be sexing them all day and all night long and swimming in rivers of milk and in rivers of wine as it is recorded in the Quran. Another reason that you know Yah is the only Elohim that has a plan of salvation, that has a plan of redemption, that has the best spirituality for the black man on the face of the earth, is because the Almighty and his book is the only one that teaches the black woman that she is somebody, that teaches the black woman that she can go and score to any heights that she desires, that she can be anything that a man can be. If she wants to be a minister, she can be a minister. If she wants to teach the word, she can teach the word. Because we had many women prophets in the Old Testament. Many women taught the word of Yah. And if you don't believe me, look it up. Look up in your Bible, Exodus, the 15th chapter, the 20th verse, and see this great woman prophetess. Also, go to the book of Judges, the 4th chapter, the 4th verse, and see another woman prophetess and a great judge that ruled over our people. Go there! As well as 2 Chronicles 34:22. As well as Nehemiah 6:14. As well as Isaiah 8:3, we had women that were close to the Most High. Women that could teach in the various sanctuaries. Women that could teach the word of Yah. Women that the Almighty gave his word to be prophetess, to go to the men and the people. Women that were judges that were put over the whole community to rule it. Only can you find this with the spirituality that Yahweh has ordained for the world. In Islam, women can't have that. Can't have a woman teaching Islam, teaching in a mosque as a sheikh or imam. No, men must be in these positions, not a woman. You can go to Islam. Nadim told the woman that they're so untrustworthy that if they're called to be a witness, it got to be two men. If you can't find two men, you got to find four women or three women because their words are not good as a man. If you can only find one man, you got to find one man or two women. But if you can't have just two men, the women are untrustworthy. It's told to the women that if you doubt their trustworthiness, or you have any suspicions of their actions at all, that you can beat them. The Almighty has never given the people of the book, the true sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that even the Quran acknowledged that the priesthood was given unto, the prophethood was given unto. Even the Quran acknowledged that the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the descendants of Israel, were given the book, was given the book forever. Nowhere were you seeing the book that Yah gave them, that they have the authority to whoop a woman, to put their hands on a woman. The Almighty told the men that if you have a brawling and contentious woman, it's better to go into the housetop than to be with her in the wide open house. Better to go to the housetop. You walk away. You're a man. Then give us the authority to beat a woman that she don't, because she don't agree with us. You can't whoop on a man because he disagree with you. But you can grab your little woman in a skirt that don't agree with you and whoop her. The Almighty, the true creator, the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that therein is, has never given man this authority. That's how you know that Yah and his words and his book is the only true way of life for the black man. Because our black women are totally liberated. Another reason that you know, point five, another reason you know that Yah's way of life is the only way of life for the black man in the world is because Yahweh is the only Elohim who had a spirituality or a way of life that was not spread with the sword. I said that was not propagated with the sword. Here, when you examine Christianity and examine the Crusades, examine how Christianity was spread around Africa and to the world and to America, you see that it was spread with the sword. When you look at Islam historically and today, you still see it being spread with the sword, still unto this day. But you can never find any record and any book whatsoever where Yah's people tried to spread divine truth with the sword. Divine truth was not meant to be spread with the sword. Yah never tried to make people be Israelites. Nowhere in history where you see a group of Israelites spreading their culture around the world, killing people if they did not become Israelites. To be an Israelite, you have to be born an Israelite. You couldn't, it wasn't a religion such as Christianity or Islam. So we weren't trying to make everybody that if you wasn't born an Israelite, good, but we were willing to share our wisdom, our knowledge, and the laws of the Most High. Anybody that had a willing heart and wanted to serve the Creator, the Almighty never excluded anyone that really wanted to serve him with all their heart, all their soul, and all their might, because Yahweh keep making a way out. He keeps making a way out. And for those in audience that think there's a way, there is a way. For Yah's mercy, and do it forever. In spite or in light of what anyone tells you, Alicia telling you that Yah keeps making a way out. Number six, another reason is because of Yahweh's infinite wisdom. He is the only Elohim that could tell our people why all of the other people on the face of this earth hate us. Why they hate us as he said they would. He's the only one that's able to give us answers to these questions. And Yah, number seven, Yah's only Elohim that has a plan of redemption for all the people on the earth while they are still in the land of the living. In other words, you don't have to die to get it. We don't have to say, well, serve him. And when you die, he said, where he be, there you'll be. And there's a place, and there's many mansions. And when you die, you can be in one of these mansions. Only thing you'll be in is a grave with your worms if you don't hearken to the words of the true and living Elohim. That's the only mansion you'll be in. You better make your casket like a mansion if you're not willing to turn to the Creator. Yahweh is the only, number eight, Yahweh is the only Elohim that is so great and righteous that the New Testament and the Quran had to use his words and his prophets to even validate their book. The only reason their book was found to be acceptable at all is because they used that Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They used the prophets Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They used the words of the Most High and then said their book is just another book coming from this book. Who did they think they were fooling? The Almighty goes up, not down. The Almighty don't turn in reverse. He don't make a book that's perfect and then make another book that's imperfect and tell you the imperfect book was made to replace the perfect book. In the perfect book, the Almighty names every animal that we can eat and every animal we can't eat. You go to the New Testament, they got a book telling you that you can eat everything. Worms, roaches, maggots, rats, bats, pigs, dogs, anything. You go to Quran, you can eat anything as well. Anything a Christian can eat, a Muslim can eat, except a pig. And then his book tells him that he can eat a pig if he's hungry. I brought this to the understanding of the Muslim, young Muslim brother that's under the Farrakhan teaching about him can eat anything. He said, yes, we can eat a rat if we're hungry. No, sir. A Muslim can eat a rat when he's not hungry. A Muslim can eat a rat on a Sunday afternoon with plenty of money in his pocket. Now, he's told he can only eat a pig if he's hungry or starving, but he can eat a rat, or he can have a bowl of rats on a good day for dinner on a Sunday or Friday. He don't have to wait until he's hungry. As I said, Yahweh is the only Elohim that teaches the identity of our people. Yahweh Elohim is the only Elohim that has laws that he wrote with his finger in his books that had the historical validity and spiritual authenticity. You can only find it in the words of Yah. And next week I'll start getting into the midst of some of these great points. But I just wanted you to quickly understand the 10 things that separates the Almighty spirituality from that of Islam, Christianity, and all the others that are on the face of this earth. It is the only true religion of the black man. And it's the only real religion or spirituality of the black man and the world. So we want you to listen to our program. And if you have any comments, any questions, we want you to bring it to us. And everything that I said about our plight and our restoration that we will receive is the absolute truth. I'd like to read something by a young man named Joseph S. Spencer, Sr. He wrote a little bit about the enslavement of our people and the reparation for the enslavement of the African people. This is a couple of his comments. He said, in the past, Europeans with ill will have almost entirely stripped and raped Africa of its most valuable resources. The gold, the ivory, the diamonds, and its people. The raping of Africa came into the form of disguises by those benevolent Europeans claiming that they were there to help the African nations. The resulting impact of the disguised help was the transportation of approximately 14 million Africans from their continent as captives to the West into slavery. Since then, many abolitionists have fought for the ending of slavery, the overt signs of the shackles of gold. However, the covert aspects of slavery still remain. The prevailing question that springs from the slave experience is that a reparation being paid to the descendants of slavery as a result of the brutality, demoralization, genocide, and other negative actions inflicted upon Africans because of the slave trade, including a devastating impact beyond the initial enslavement. We see that reparation should be paid to the descendants of slaves. Europeans of ill will went to Africa with the hidden intent of stripping and raping the country of its most valuable resource, its young people. Words of untruth were told to Africans. Promises were made with no intent to be kept. Deception was implemented to trick Africans into a trap of oppression. The hidden plans of malicious Europeans were to capture and transport Africans as slaves to be sold in the West. The resulting impact is the kidnapping, beating, and forced taking of approximately 14 million Africans and their descendants and enslaving them in the United States from 1619 to 1865. In other words, he's saying they first start coming in 1619, and the last that he has in a recording of them coming is in 1865. So we don't know approximately when to start the count of 400 years, but we know it wasn't the exact date the first one came, because this was mentioned to be forced upon us as a nation. But let me read further. Africans and their descendants have suffered in the United States as a result of the slavery imposed upon their ancestors and elders. African Americans today are still suffering from the remnants of the badge of slavery. Right now, we're going to stop for news. And if anybody have any questions, any comments, any rebuttals, they can call us up. Area code 513-749-1230. And we want you to call in and give us your input. Give us your wisdom and understanding. We just love to hear you, period. So call us right after news. We'll be right back. Shalom. For Alicia Israel of the House of Israel, bring your truth or tradition. Today we're talking about the panel discussion, the world-renowned panel discussion that was at Central State last week. It had never been nothing like it. You had ministers from Christianity with degrees, ministers from two perspectives of Islam, and a minister that represented the truth, an Israelite, bringing you the truth. And they were there, all five of them, discussing why their spirituality is the best one for the black man. And we have the tapes for your disposal. Just call us, 641-1921, or call me at 226-7110, and you will see why Yahweh's way is the best, and there is none like it. It is the only way for the black man that's seeking salvation to go, if he wants the truth. But right now, we have some brothers online, and if anybody else want to join us, You can call us, area code 513-749-1230. Call in. Right now we're going to Brother Antoine. Shalom, brother.
Shalom, brother.
Yes, how are you?
I'm doing fine, thanks to the Most High. First of all, I'd like to give greetings to. I would like to just comment on a couple of things, or should I say enlighten, which you spoke on, and just bear with me. I would have to say that, first of all, we are the true Hebrew Israelite people, Hebrew people. We are the original, or are the Hebrew people, should I say.
Yes, we are.
I just wanted to clarify on some things for the people who may not have come to the understanding or have not come from up under that mystic of illusion, the illusion of being a part of pledging to something they're not. Lately, it's been a lot of programs on certain learning channels, the so-called learning channels, your cable networks, your Discovery channels, networks, National Geographic, so on and so forth, et cetera, not to mention the news. Just the other night, they had a program on the Ark of the Covenant, the movement about it, and where I travel back and forth, and all they trickery and illusions and things like that. You know, speaking of Solomon, which in the programs they never profess him to be white, black, or of the Israelite blood. Mm-hmm. Lately, the programs has been about Islam, Sunni, and Shiite. How the Iraqi people live and things like that, which a program was on that Teddy Koppel hosted. And it showed different things about how the people lived over there, how they started warring, different wars, the different caliphs and different things like that, you know, about who's the predecessor to Muhammad and things like that. And you were speaking about how these different religions, speaking of Islam, is coming with the sword and different things like that. Now, I have a good understanding of Islam, having studied it and practiced it for the last 6 years, being of the Sunni and the Hanafi school of thought. But a brother Larry, thank the Most High for him, brought some understanding to me. Now, I like to, not taking that from Islam, although it has been the first step for me, you know, I feel to get closer to being a better person and being brought to the light. But, not speaking nothing bad on Islam nor the followers, but it is what it is. Back to the programs, it's just been a lot of things as far as if you filter it out.
In other words, you used to be a Muslim yourself.
Yes, sir.
Until you found Yahweh's way of life.
Yes, sir. And it's nothing bad about Islam, but when you look at it and you dissect it, and I watch programs are doing different readings and different studies, they're warring over there. It's different things that don't even consist of a black man. It's not even ways of a black man that is going on. It teaches nothing of the black, like you said about the history, why history began. It begins with just coming off the boat onto the shores and different things like that. That's how they want us to believe that our history started out. And I just wanted to say to the people out there that just have a misunderstanding about what's really going on, that we are the true Israelite people. Just go and read, study, look at some things. It's out there. The original text is there. The things is right there in your face. You spoke about the different laws. You spoke about the night and the day last week. It's different things that we as people are not keeping true, and it speaks in the text for generations to uphold his laws, and we're not doing that, and
we will
suffer as the more that we be disobedient, and that's why we as Israelite people are not seeing that we are Israelite people. Those who are not seeing it, that's why you're not seeing it, because you're being disobedient. And until we be obedient and come together and know that that's who we really are. This is the things that we'll go through. But that's all I want to say, brother. Shalom.
Thank you. Shalom, shalom. And I might reiterate on that you're absolutely right, brother. That's the truth. There's a lot of blessings that are being withheld from our people because our people refused to serve their true and living Elohim. You can mention about some personal things that happened to you and how you personally got a lot of money and you personally got a big car. But look at our people as a whole. Anybody to look back and study our people, they would see that for some reason or another, the Almighty's divine hand is not smiling graciously upon them. We're the most afflicted people on the face of this earth, as he said we would. And it's for a reason. because we have rejected him. And until our people turn back to the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the things are really going to get worse and not better. You think it's not going to get worse, it's going to get worse for you and me as a people. But right now, we're going to go to another beloved brother. If anybody want to call us, 749-1230. But right now, we're going right to the Black Line. Shalom, brother. How you doing?
I'm very well. Shalom, shalom. Elder, praise Yah.
Praise the Lord, Yah. Yes.
Oh, man, I'm enjoying the show.
Thank you.
You touch so many bases, it's not too much that I can say. But I find it peculiar that these Christians, i.e. Islam, because they Christians, too, they accept Christ. They don't like to accept the fact, but they Christians as well. They perpetuate a book about black people, about the original people. Never even mention it. These our brothers and sisters sit in these churches and read this book all the days of their life and don't know they're talking about a black people's God, a God of a black nation, descendants of them and their people. And I find it peculiar. I find it very peculiar. I mentioned that to the Caucasian.
A lot of our Christian people, they go to church, and all they're going to give me, they're going to tag them in the back of the book. See, the same man who made them the last hired and the first fired is the same man who put them in the back of the bus. And the same one that made them put them in the back of the bus is the same one who put them in the back of the book. And when
exactly.
they get in the back of the book, their whole study is going to be what Paul said to the Romans. They don't look like no Roman. Paul said to the Ephesians, they don't look like no Ephesians or Gentiles. What Paul said to the Galatians, they don't look like no Colossians or Galatians. He's going to give them what Paul said to a bunch of other people other than themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And then they're going to get brainwashed and miseducated and indoctrinated. And the time they come out of the New Testament, they'll be everything they'll be saying is what Paul said.
Oh,
and
definitely.
Little do they know that Paul actually goes against the words, not only the words of the Most High, but Paul goes mainly against the words of the Christ of the New Testament. The one they claim their Savior, Christ is teaching, Paul's teaching is totally contrary to his. But they
exactly.
don't know it because they're under the dictations of a very cruel and smooth minister.
And I'd also like to note that my brothers and my sisters have tried Allah for 1,500 years. They tried Jesus for at least 2,000 years, and it hasn't helped them yet. I see how they enemy or they counterpart who pray to the same deity prosper right before them, and I don't see them benefiting as a nation from whatever deity they believe in because they serve deities they cannot save. The only thing that's going to save us as a people is the law.
Well,
the
Gentile can serve a false god, and he can still prosper because the law wasn't given to him. That's what Amos 3 and 2 said, "You only have I known of all the families of the earth, therefore will I punish you for all of your iniquity." We get punished for doing the same thing the Gentile is because he's not a covenant people. And he's
exactly.
prospering every day while we are constantly soaring down and down.
My point exactly.
Good point.
My point exactly. Well, I like to stay on the line.
Okay,
I'm
well, you
right
can
here.
Stay on the line. And
okay, and I appreciate it, and peace and blessings.
Yeah, all right, brother. Yeah,
Shalom.
Good. I want my brother to stay on the line here. All right. Right now we're going right to Arkansas. The brother Yaakov, right there in Arkansas. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, Morales.
Shalom, my brother. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'd like to say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Great topic. I was excited when I heard that you had an opportunity to debate with the other people of other persuasion, because one thing it lets me know is that the Creator is, we're about to be liberated from all of these lands, and many of our people might not know what's going on, but the Creator is going to redeem us. And so that's one thing I'm excited about, because I know that despite all the deception that's out there, the Creator is pouring his spirit upon his people,
mm-hmm.
those that want it, the city spirit, those that are thirsty, just as it said in the book of Isaiah. And so, you know, it's exciting times.
Yes,
but the thing about it is, if our people want to know how the see, the thing about it, what's deceiving our people is many of these Uncle Tom preachers in the midst. And these people that these Europeans use as their agents. And this is the reason why many of our people are so confused, is because many of the people don't know that these Uncle Tom preachers, they are the house Negroes. And it benefits them to keep the status quo. And so when a brother like myself and another brother, we tell our, if we go out to our sister and brother and tell them, listen, why don't we come together? Why don't we unite? And why don't we bring forth our skills so we can better suit our people? Well, then these other people, these agents that are working for these Gentiles, they would say, oh, man, those black racists. They're racist. You know, that's racism. We brought the integration, whether they know it or not. The creator never told us to integrate with nobody other than with himself.
You're right. We are people that were made
to dwell alone. And this is the problem that we have in the
black
community.
You're right, brother.
And these preachers that are deceiving our people, anytime people are is going out telling our people, let's come together, because what the creator is trying to do, he's trying to wake us up. Because I'm telling these Gentiles in Arkansas, you know, they passed a bill. They're going to start, fixing up on these detention centers that they used to hold the Japanese in the one up Pearl Harbor. Not only in Arkansas, but in the other states. They passed a bill, and they're going to start, remodeling these detention centers.
Well, they're reopening these detention centers all over the United States, and I guess some of my naive brothers and sisters might think they're opening up these things to raise chickens and ducks.
No, raise a bird.
You're right. They're not. They're opening up for our people, not to raise no chickens. But
and see, the
they're going to have
is,
to see and not be told, because they're not going to listen to sound wisdom.
But the thing about it is, if they don't listen to sound wisdom, then they thought Katrina was bad. You just keep living.
All right.
If we don't come back to the credit in this country, we're going to see more black people getting slaughtered like never before.
All right, brother. Thank you.
Shalom, Marie.
Shalom, shalom. Right here, we want to go right to California, to Brother Royalty, right there in California. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom, Brother Moray.
Shalom, my brother. How are you?
I'd first like to give praise and glory to the Most High by saying hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise Almighty Yah.
Mm-hmm.
Good points. I had a debate with a brother a while back, not too long ago, and I went back to I guess a few months ago, your brother called you and asked you if it was okay to marry a Mexican. I want you to clarify that for me. I think I had a brother listening, so I want you to clarify that. Well, if you can remember that brother that called you.
No, I remember something vaguely about that conversation.
And I didn't want to mess it up, so I thought I wanted you to really clarify that for me.
You go ahead and talk to him, because he's going to marry who he wants to marry. In other words, there is no law that he cannot marry a Mexican. There is no law, but it is always better. It is always better to marry amongst the children of Israel.
Right.
But
right.
If he married a Mexican, he didn't break the law. But it is not the most prudent thing to do. But I know when a man gets ready to marry, he's going to marry whoever he wants to anyway. Now, there were some people, by law, we can't marry them.
Right. Can you clarify that with the people that we can, by law, we cannot interact with?
Well, you can find some of them mentioned in the book of the seventh chapter of Deuteronomy, some of the various nations that we're not to marry, and I can teach on that another night. But I'm not going to make my program on that tonight, but we can
we'll
teach on that another night, who we can integrate with and who we can't. But
okay.
But if he reads the seventh chapter of Deuteronomy, he'll see some of the. He can see some of the people that we're not allowed to marry in the book of Deuteronomy, the seventh chapter.
Okay.
Yes.
That's good, and I'm sure he's listening, so he'll know to go there, to take care of that. But another point, what you were talking about is, I think I have an issue when I do be out here speaking with people that they are stuck on tradition, not just the Uncle Tom Chip eating preacher that's out here that's, you know, keeping putting the money in their pockets, and we all understand it's a business that they are really got themselves, you know, into. But a lot of these people are saying, well, my grandmother did, I think that's the right thing. You know, my mother, my grandmother, my great-great-grandmother, but they don't realize that it started, that's where they sold the roots. That's where everything started from. You know, that's why the tradition started, by them feeding us this hippie on a stick, you know, and now all of a sudden we have to believe this and we have to embrace this because, well, my grandmother did it. Well, I know it's the right thing to do. I got to find me a church, you know, and I, well, why is it you skipping or jumping over church to church? Why is it you can't be settled at this church? Why is it you don't went to three or four different churches in the past couple of years and you haven't settled yourself? That's right. This should tell you something, you know.
Well, no, the mighty one might be talking to them, and they're not finding it in these churches. And they're going to one to another, and they're not going to find the truth until they seek the true word of Yah. Because that's the only time they're going to be satisfied. Let me mention a couple of things for you before I go to someone else. I just mentioned something about some of the people we can marry for your sake, since you called all the way from California. I told you to go to Deuteronomy 7, and very first verse says, when Yah the Elohim shall bring into thee into the land, whether thou go to possess it.
It hath cast out many nations
and
before
thee. And it's cast out many nations before thee.
The Hittites.
The Hittites.
And the Girgashites.
Mm-hmm.
And the Amorites.
Mm-hmm.
And the Canaanites.
Mm-hmm.
And the Perizzites.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hivites.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jebusites.
Mm-hmm.
Seven nations greater and mightier than thou.
That's right.
And when Yahweh thy Elohim shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son.
And why? For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of Yahweh be kindled against you and destroy you. But thus shall ye deal with them.
Ye shall destroy their altars.
And break down their images.
And cut down their groves.
And burn their graven images with fire. For thou art a holy people unto Yahweh Elohim. And how Yahweh has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the face of the earth. Now I might add that these nations that the Almighty named here, all of these were other black nations. But these seven black nations are nations that have offended the Most High greatly. Now, how so? According to the book of Genesis, the 12th chapter, the Almighty had already stated to his servant, the prophet, and to Abraham. The Creator said unto Abraham in the second verse, I will make of thee a great nation, and will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So the Almighty told Abraham that he's going to bless him and his seed after him, and to him and them shall all the families of the earth be blessed. These nations curse the Most High's people. And also, if you go to the book of Deuteronomy, the 23rd chapter, I just want you to understand what he said. He's going to bless them that bless us, and he's going to curse them that curse us. The Creator says here in the third verse, he says,
An Ammonite. Or Moabite. Shall not enter into the congregation of Yahweh.
Even to their tenth generation, they should not enter
into the congregation of Yahweh forever.
Now, why? Why did he say that the Amorites and the Moabites should not enter into the congregation of Yahweh? He named two or more nations that were not named previously. And then he said, because they met you not with bread and with water in the way when ye came forth out of Egypt, and because they hired against thee Bolam,
the son of Beor, of Pethor, of Mesopotamia, to curse thee.
So they hired this man to curse us.
Nevertheless, Yahweh thy Elohim would not hearken unto Balaam, but Yahweh thy Elohim turned the curse into a blessing unto thee, because Yahweh thy Elohim loved thee. Thou shalt not seek their peace, nor their prosperity, all the days forever.
Now he told us not to seek their peace, nor their prosperity, all our days long forever, because they not only didn't show us kindness and hospitality and didn't meet us with bread and water, but they hired Bolam to curse us. And because they cursed us, or he tried to get him to curse us, the Almighty said they should never enter into our congregation. So what does that mean about the white race? Now, if he's going to do this to a black race, because they didn't meet you with bread and water, what would he do with this man who made your son to lick his boots, made your son to sleep in his bed with him where he go with his ungodly acts that he committed on him, and had your daughter breeding with other men just so he can be a rich plantation owner, and he worked your sons and daughters from night and day and sold your family away? How do you think the Almighty feel about this man? The crimes that this man has committed against you are enough to make a brass monkey start crying.
Praise
you. You understand? So I hope praise that enlightened you a little bit.
All right? Yes, I hope it enlightened the people that I've already been talking to, Alicia, because I've had them listening to the show, so hopefully they are listening, and they got enlightened by that, because that's just reinforcement from what I tell them, and that was great reinforcement, Brother Alicia.
Okay, brother. Thank you. I appreciate
shalom,
you calling.
Shalom.
Shalom. Right now, we're going right to Cincinnati again. The brother Michael Riley. Shalom, brother. How are you?
All right. Shalom to you.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I didn't hear the first part of your program, but you was talking about women. About the part I did hear. And one of the things that we must understand, our black woman is our future.
Yes.
And, she represents us.
Mm-hmm.
But what have we done to our black woman? We have taken her, a proud mother of civilization, and turned into just a ragged piece of trash.
Yes.
Because we've taken our clothes off of her. We want to make her look like a white woman. All the phony hair on her head, turn it blonde, green, silver, gold, any color you can think of.
Mm-hmm.
And then she says she want a black man. Why don't she become a black woman first?
Uh-oh.
But we sit around here, we dress ourselves, these women up, and we don't say nothing.
Yeah.
All we worry about is our lower desires, what we can jump in bed with. But we don't care how she looks, all we can jump in bed with. And these are one of the things that we have lost the respect for our black women, our mothers, our sisters, our children, our daughters. We've lost that love and respect that we have for them. Like a good example, I look at, I'm bringing up the number one devil upon the country, Cheney. His daughter is having a baby, but not by a man, by a test tube.
Another woman?
Yeah, no, I don't know what it is. It's just coming from a test tube.
Having a baby by another woman?
No, by a test tube.
By a test tube. That's right, because she's kind of funny, ain't she?
Right, she's gay. You think about that. Is that normal?
She's having a test tube baby, huh?
That's right, test tube
baby.
She
don't like to be fooling with no men. She's
going to
bypass the men and get a woman. Oh.
Right. And tell me that's lower desires.
Yes.
Your filthy, disgusting desires.
Mm-hmm.
And we got men to say we're going to get married. Talk about marriage, you're going to marry the same sex. That's disgusting.
Yes, yes.
Two men getting together, and they're getting together only for their lower desires. Two women getting together for their lower desires.
Mm-hmm.
Bestiality about their lower desires.
Mm-hmm.
You don't marry no daggone animal.
Yeah.
You don't marry a man, don't marry a man. A woman don't marry. They said, they were born that way. Were they born crazy?
I guess so. Some of them are.
That's what I'm saying. We live in a time where all the filth and disgusting is being manifested. And we so silly, we still want to hold on to these virtues that this white man has given to us. We look at our movies, our shows, and everything, all disgusting filth. It's all right to gamble and act a fool. I'm mad because you took away my cigarettes. They're killing me. Well, let's drink all the alcohol we good because the law said we can, so we must make a fool out of ourselves. But if I get caught driving, I go to jail.
That's right. That's right.
That's how disgusting we have been. We have lost our rights as a human being.
Lost our minds, right?
Because the devil has taken us and deceived us, and we act just like it. We're assimilated in society.
That's pitiful.
And that's what we got to understand. When we get our righteousness back, and if we don't, we will go down with the beast.
That's right.
So we got to wake up to love, protect our black women, protect our children. Like men want to lay up and let a woman take care of him. You ain't no man. You're a child.
Yes.
You're supposed to love and protect your black woman.
And
you know, you ain't, I'm a player.
Then you got, you got grown men here calling themselves having mature men, supposed to be mature men, having something called player ball.
Yeah,
now, we've been through that state, and we're supposed to grow out of that. But grown men that have wives and families and trying to encourage other young men to be strong men have no business talking about going to a player's ball.
Yeah,
you understand? Talking. And all that is just showing our spiritual immaturity. You're right.
And you want to play on your mama?
Yeah.
Your mama go take her to the player's ball. Take
Hello?
Your daughter.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the type of way we've come. We've lost our love for our woman. So these are things we got to be aware of.
Yes, sir.
Don't get hung up in this foolishness, this wickedness.
You're right.
Because that's Christianity. That is not the love that the prophets had for us and all through the Bible. You ain't never heard talking about a player.
Yes.
What prophet was a player? Abraham, I think he played. Even the man they called Jesus was no player. All through the Bible, there was no such thing as nobody playing on women. They protected their women. They loved their people.
All right.
We don't love our people.
All right, brother.
Yes, sir.
I really enjoyed you. Thank you for calling.
Yes, sir. Shalom,
shalom. Shalom, shalom. Right now, we're going right to our lines to Brother Levi. Brother Levi.
Shalom.
Shalom.
How you doing, brother?
Oh, fine. How are you doing?
Okay. You're sounding very loud and clear throughout the radio, so it's a great program. I wanted to call. I was at the Central State meeting, and I observed the panel discussion, and it's good that you went over those 10 points again, as you did, that you brought forth, and I just wanted to say it was very dynamic, and I wanted to share with the audience that from one observation that I've seen from start to finish is that they, because the topic was what is the true religion of the black man, and the questions that you posed, and it was presented to the panel, it could not be addressed, and not only could it not, those points you brought out could not be addressed, even the question at hand for the panel discussion. And it just showed me that these men with these religions and the doctrines, that is a task. That question alone, let alone to address the 10 points that you brought out, it's a task because these cults that these people are into don't address anything specific as far as a nation is concerned, let alone the Almighty's nation, and let alone blackness in its totality. Or of any, the least of it. And I thought that was very profound, and it just let me see that cannot be answered by any of these religions as far as any perspective for the black man or black woman. And I just, that's explosive. I think the people are waking up to, this truth, and it is very beautiful. If we can all recognize that, we do have a place and we are somebody. We're not just what these people have told us. Because
all right.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate that. That's good, and I agree 100%.
Yes, sir.
In other words, as you're bringing to our attention, men had doctorate degrees and years in these theological cemeteries or seminaries, as they might call them, but as the Creator said, there is no wisdom against him. You can go to school for 20 years and you will not have the wisdom to defeat a prophet of the Most High. or to disprove his holy divine word. You there is no amount of schooling that can enable someone to do this.
That's true.
There is no wisdom, no understanding, nor counsel against Yah's word. There is none.
That's right.
And that was verified the other night. That has been, as it been verified many other nights.
Didn't address the topic.
Yes, yes, they couldn't. Now, how can anyone with any degree of intelligence try to prove that Islam is religion for the black man? How could they even possibly utter those words out their mouth? And what do they have to back it up and to substantiate that point?
Yeah.
Other than just a boldly say it, they could have just boldly said it. But when it comes to bringing out points and issues to prove that, you can.
Yeah.
And how could any man with any degree of intelligence try to insert to Christianity even benefit a black man, let alone the true religion of the black man? They can.
Right.
If I was in their position, I would have looked like a fool. I don't care how much intelligence, how much schooling I could have had. If the Almighty sent one of his people and I'm trying to defend that stuff, I could not have.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. All right. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate your observations.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. We're going right to Cincinnati again. And if anyone want to join us, and I would want the sisters to call in. Now, we want some of the sisters. We want to hear from you. Area code 513-749-1230. I want to assure you, you're not in Islam or Christianity. You can speak up. You can talk. It's not a shame for you to talk. So I don't want you to be afraid. It's all right. The Almighty has made your words very valuable, and you can talk and your words be recognized because you are someone. So call us up. We want the sisters to call in, 749-1230. But right now, we're going right to Brother Kimuel, right in Cincinnati. Shalom.
Shalom, Moray, Lisa, and the staff down there. How y'all doing?
Oh, fine. Thank you.
Okay, yes, I wanted to speak about Jeremiah, the 30th chapter, verses 7, 8, and 9. You know, when it speaks of Allah, that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble.
Yes.
He shall be saved out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go down to the, you know, of course, the 8th verse, for it shall come to pass in that day, said Yah of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off his neck and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. In other words, we won't be in slavery anymore.
That's right.
Okay, but they shall serve Yahweh their Elohim and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them.
Mm-hmm.
He actually singling out and saying the only name person he will raise is David. And I think you had raised a question in class on that. And if I'm correct, that was approximately a little bit over 400 something years ago that he had gave us that in 1 Kings, the second chapter, to the first verse, and then the 10th verse. Just, I'm going to read this right quick. First Kings, the second chapter, the first verse. Now the days of David drew near that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, you know, go in a way and be a strong man, honor Yah's law. But then you get to the 10th verse, and say, so David slept with his father and was buried in the city of David. And here's the part that a lot of Christians try to throw J.C. name in. Then sat Solomon upon the throne of David, his father, and his kingdom was established greatly. They try and throw Jesus in there and say that he sat in David's throne. He was a descendant. But it's nowhere that it's in the scripture, the Holy Scripture, that it states that J.C. was anywhere, you know, was associated with King David's throne, period, nor King Solomon's throne. So I hope a lot of people do not misinterpret this. 400 years. See, what happened, Israel have always been hard-headed, and they thought 400 years later that we, or a little bit over 400 years later, that we would forget about that it was King David that Yah said he was raised up. No one else, not J.C., not Baal.
All right. But that's
so,
not, You're right. You're absolutely right. But that's not what we're going to put the emphasis on tonight. But you're absolutely right, though. And
okay.
Our people need to take those points under consideration.
Okay,
Mo. Well, I appreciate your calling, though.
Thank you, and the program is great.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, shalom.
Shalom. All right, we're going to go to Sister Diana. Diana, right out of Cincinnati, Ohio. Sister Diana.
Yes, I would like for you to read Deuteronomy 12, chapter 15, verse, and explain it to me, and I will listen to you on the radio. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Deuteronomy 12 and 15. It says,
notwithstanding, thou mayest kill and eat flesh in all thy gates, whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, according to the blessings of Yahweh thy Elohim, which he hath given thee. The unclean and the clean may eat thereof, as of the roebuck and as the hart.
All right, I don't understand what you want me to explain. This is, nevertheless, thou mayest kill and eat flesh in all thy gates, whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, according to the blessings of Yahweh to him which he has given thee. The unclean and the clean may eat thereof, as of the roebuck and as of the hart. In other words, he's talking about the unclean and clean person. Since I mentioned to you, there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the words of Yah. And if you turn your book to the book of Deuteronomy, the 15th chapter, it will explain exactly what I'm telling you. It's not no unclean and unclean thing. I know some of your brothers probably called and told you that Israel can eat unclean animals, and this verse is substantiating that point. He's not telling us to eat unclean animals. He's talking about the unclean and clean person may eat. And you can find this in the book of Deuteronomy, the 15th chapter, the 22nd verse. It says,
thou shalt eat it within thy gates.
Thou shalt eat it within thy gates.
The unclean and the clean person shall eat it alike.
The unclean and the unclean person shall eat it alike.
As the roebuck and as the hart.
As the roebuck and as of the hart. So he's talking about the unclean person. Not unclean things. All right? Thank you. Right now we want to go right to, we've been to California, been to, right now we're going to Carolina, to the great Moray, the great teacher out of North Raleigh, North Carolina. I think this is Moray Ishaya on the line. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom, my brother. How you doing?
Doing great. Doing excellent.
Yes, sir.
Listening in to the great program, True for Tradition.
Thank you.
And I may say earlier today, I had my whole class listen to your class today. And it was a great lesson, great class, just listening listening to the words about the great debate that you had at Central State in Wilberforce, Ohio. And I got an opportunity to listen to the debate myself. And you brought out 10 great points to show the people, show the religious leaders how Yah's way is the only way for our people and for black people, period.
Yeah.
And one of the points that you made at the panel discussion, I thought was just phenomenal, that nobody was able to contest. And that was, that. And let me say this, they weren't able to contest anything. But this one particular point that I thought was just awesome, you pointed out that the Creator thought so much of our people that he's the only Elohim that wrote commandments with his own finger and gave them to his people.
Mm-hmm.
And this is unlike any other book where no other God wrote anything for any other people, but only for our people, only for our people. And this is the only book that the Creator ever spoke in, spoke to his people directly, not through third parties as is in the other books. So these points of views that you brought out, that only the Creator could have gave you the divine knowledge to bring out to our people, they was just awesome and great, and we're still here in Raleigh, North Carolina, celebrating the fact that we always knew that not only we believe the truth, but the truth will prevail, and that all these years we've been teaching and telling the people this is the truth, and you took this truth and proved it not only there, but if they take the time to look at your website, you've proved this truth by going all over the world, saying the same thing, the word of Yah, debating these ministers, everything that we've been teaching for years. So I praise the mighty Yah, and we're celebrating.
Hallelujah. Yeah, and I celebrated before I went there because I knew exactly what was going to happen.
Yes.
I knew that the oppositioners had nothing to bring to the table.
Yes.
And so I knew it was a cakewalk, and I had a chance to show how great Yah was and Yah is to this very day. And the Almighty blessed me and enabled me with the wisdom and the courageousness to come forth and speak his word in light of the fact that the whole world is against the people of Yah, even until this day. And that's how you know we are. This great Atlantic slave trade will show you that even in our slave trade, the Almighty mentioned everyone that conspired in that slave trade to put us in this condition.
That's right.
Most of the world don't realize that at one time, the Ishmaelites and the Edomites, or Jewish people, were operated very good for the common good.
I was watching
a picture the other day on the Animal Channel, and it was something very amazing. It was showing me a school of sardines. And these all sardines, they all stuck together for their common protection. And it was in one big bowl. And all of a sudden you had the predators that generally hate one another, generally despise one another. You had five groups of predators united themselves together for the common good of their communities to consume the sardines. You had the shark along with the dolphin, along with the seal, along with the killer whale, along with some birds, a group, I forgot the name of these birds, and they all worked together in unison. They all helped each other and cooperated and did what they could to round these sardines up until they almost totally annihilated them. Because they realized even though they're foes, this is for their common good to unite. And that this is the one time that all the sharks got together. And they worked in unison with the seals, which are deadly enemies of one another, the dolphins, the killer whales, and these birds. A lot of people have seen it on the Animal Channel. And it reminds me of something the Creator said in the book of Songs, the 83rd chapter, because I was looking at it the other day, and you had four mortal enemies united. And they were united for one thing. And that's to cut us off from being a people.
That's right.
And who were these people? Let's read it. I want to show our listening audience the great wisdom of the mighty Yah, according to the book of Songs 83. We're going to start reading at the first verse.
Keep not thou silence, O Elohim.
Keep not thou silent, O Elohim.
Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O Elohim.
For lo, thy enemies, letting the Creator know, letting the people know that Yahweh has enemies. For though thy enemies make a turmoil,
and they that hate thee
have lifted up the head,
they have taken crafty counsel
against thy people,
and consulted against thy hidden ones.
And they have said,
come, and let us cut them off from being a nation.
Notice the third verse, he said they have taken crafty counsel. Not only counsel, they have taken crafty counsel. They were very sagacious against the people of Yah. And they have consulted together against the hidden ones, another name the Creator calls us. And he said, they have said, come and let us, these nations said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation. So what's the first thing you do when you want to cut a people off from being a nation? You take them out of their land.
That's right.
Then you change their name.
That's right.
Then you take away their culture by taking away their language. And you don't let them call each other by their original names, by means in which they could relate to each other. If they called each other by their original names, Hananiah, Mishael, and Emmanuel, they would all know what people they are. So they had to change their name. That was very necessary to change their name and to stop them from worshiping their God, because if they found out that who Yah was, they knew that this is their Savior. So he couldn't teach them about Yahweh. They had to teach them about a God that couldn't save, a God that told them to love the enemies, a God that told them don't fight Mac, the God that told them to just turn the other cheek anytime you hit. So they had to introduce them to a God to take, that would take a strong black man and turn him into a little weak, docile creature that was a fag-like thing, scared to fight back, wouldn't fight back, would only fight for his master, would bark when the master say bark, would only fight when the master say bark, fight. And that's what they made him. And look what he said. They have taken crafty counsel against our people and consulted against the hidden ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel shall be no more in remembrance. That's why we have the name. I asked my Muslim brothers, what you doing with the name Muhammad and Ishmael and the likes? You know what they tell me? I said, you're trying to be like the Arabics. They said, no. I said, then why are you wearing their names? Where in the Quran did it tell you to wear their names? And they can't, because they're trying to look like them, act like them, talk like them, speak their language, because they are cut off from a people. This is a pitiful people we're talking about. And then look what the Creator says. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederated against thee. And then he named them. And the first one he named is the tabernacle of Edom, the Jewish people, Edom. And then the Ishmaelites, the Arabics, they're the second one, the ones that propagated Islam, the second one. And then the Mobile and the Hagarenes. He named them and named some of the black nations also that are with them. And you find that these, all the nations that took place in that great Atlantic slave trade, those are ones that headed it and confederated it. And the Almighty names them and show you how they will work together. Two nations that hate each other, the Edomites and the Ishmaelites, are working together in unison to cut you and I off from being a people. So you're right, my brother. I'm glad that you brought that out.
And it was beautiful. It was almost like what you're reading, what happened at Central State. You had an Orthodox Muslim, a Muslim believed in Farrakhan, and they confederated with the white professor of the Old Testament and with the Christian ministers, and they all rallied behind J.C. just to go up against Israel.
Yes, it's to try to defeat what Yah was saying. And they all united with one common good. They protected one another. They tried to validate each other.
That's right.
The Christians validated the Muslims. The Muslims validated the, just accept us all. They looked like Paul, didn't they?
Yes.
But the Almighty sword came down on them, didn't he?
It was beautiful.
Yes, sir. And he took them all out with one swipe.
Yes. Praise the mighty Yah.
Praise the mighty Yah.
We're listening in, brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Praise the mighty
Shalom,
Yah.
Shalom,
shalom. Shalom.
Right now I'm going to Brother Wesley. Brother Wesley.
Brother, shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
You know I was there too at Central State.
Yes, sir.
And I witnessed history being made. I witnessed the mighty Yah doing his mighty work. I tell you, I could relate to so many things, but just to say real quickly, the moderator had everybody go first, starting with the representative of Islam, he was black, and then a Nation of Islam, he was black, and then a white theologian who was supposed to be a historical expert, and then the two Christians. And, you know, it is so worthy of repeating, since we don't have much time, that the white theologian, when you ask him, were black people represented in the Old Testament, and the man sat there and told the biggest lie and said, no, they were not representatives of people. And you sat there, and point by point, you showed him that the scriptures where Yah is speaking tells us that the people who are represented in the Torah and the Old Testament is about black people. And brother, it was so wonderful, Moray, to see you take them off, just like the brother just got through saying, you took and showed them one by one that their point was useless, invalid, and no good for our people. I know you got to go. I want you to have the last few words, and I'll listen as you carry on out. And I say,
no, you go ahead and talk. I like hearing you.
Well, brother, I mean, I like hearing you because, I mean, you're teaching us and you're getting us ready for, you know, for the real coming, for the real growing up that we got to do. And I tell you, I just thank the Almighty Yah for you. I mean, I've been telling people in my family what you did at that forum and how the true and living Elohim helped you, you know, and showed. I mean, these people all said they had credentials. They all said they were scholars. I mean, they were talking about how much tenure they got and what they have studied. And yet, when it came down to, and at some point, even the white theologian, he was so articulate and so fiery. And yet, Brother Moray, you just tore him up like a fine piece of half piece of meat. I mean, I seen what the mighty Yah did. So I'm convinced. I just hope people in the listening audience can just reconsider. And I mean, challenge themselves to take another reading, to take another prayer, and to come over to the real, true, and living waters. That's my only, that's the thing I'm going to go away with tonight as you close out your program, Moray.
Well, hallelujah, brother. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, next week we will have that whole meeting that we were at. We will have it on video as well. We're getting video made for the benefit of our people. We already have it on audio that they can get tonight, but we're going to have it on video so they can see it themselves.
Ooh-wee.
But right now our time is over for the night,
right.
And I just wanted everyone to know that anyone that wanted to hear us, they can go on the internet to the debates on the House of Israel, YISRAEL, and you can hear about 10 different debates that I had around the country and in Canada with various leaders, and you can see the great power of the mighty Yah. But until next week, if anyone would like to talk to me, they can call me at 226-7110. And until next week, Yahweh love you very much, and so do I. Shalom.
So do I.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom,
shalom. Shalom, my brother.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.